The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So it might be helpful to consider that some of the things that Buddhism considers quite valuable are very different from what our society generally thinks is valuable. And perhaps some of the most important things that Buddhism emphasizes that are extremely valuable in Buddhist practice and maybe for a really happy life turns out to not be things. Turns out not to be anything that can be called a thing, but have more to do with absence than with the presence of something. And absence doesn't, you can't sell a lot of absence usually. I mean, sometimes, you know, people pay a lot of money for a big house that has a lot of space. So you can do something like that, but you don't go sell units of absence. But the absence that's important has a lot to do with the absence in the mind. And so for always focusing on things, ideas, experiences, feelings, these are all things that can qualify as things. But maybe what's most important is the absence. And that absence takes a different number of different qualities or characteristics. And maybe different people at different times will pull out these different kind of characteristics of absence. And one of them is spaciousness. To give space to our experience, to give space to our thoughts. And rather than being in conflict with anything, what happens if you simply give space for it to be there? So instead of, you know, if you have, you can have terrible thoughts, and oh no, what a terrible person I am. And okay, let's make space for those thoughts, lots of space. Maybe the more difficult the thoughts are, the more space they need. So there's no conflict, you're just seen and held in a whole different way. And if there's enough space around difficult thoughts, they're going to lose some of their power. We're probably not going to believe them as strongly, we're not going to identify with them as strongly, we're not going to hold on to them, be pushed around by them. There's much more chance for there to be wisdom about them. So, you know, to create space around our emotions, space around the situation we're in. And even interpersonal situations that are difficult, we can get pulled and entangled in the difficulty and the conversations and what goes on. But just kind of in a metaphorical way, step back and make space for it all. I've done this so many times, and the magic of what happens, the whole thing kind of changes sometimes. If one person kind of relaxes and opens up and says, okay, I'm going to have space for this. It's a very different language and say you're going to accept something. Acceptance is a thing. So then you're back in the world of things. But just make emptiness around it, make absence around it, just make space. And then see how things unfold with more space. Another thing that I associate absence with is stillness. Allow there to be a stillness. Let the heart in a loving, soft, secure way, let the heart be still. Or find the stillness that's within. The stillness is not reaching for things, pulling away from things, recoiling from things, resisting things, reaching out for things. That place that is a still inside. The still point. And when I hear the expression still point, I think of the center. Like a center of a wheel. You know, in a certain kind of way, the center is kind of still, that the wheel, the rim is spinning around. But, you know, the For a wheel, usually there's a axle hole, an absence, right? What happens? That absence, if you take the wheel off its axle and just kind of roll it down the street, and there's the hole in the middle. Is that spinning? Is that absence, that space there, that's spinning? Or is just the wheel is spinning? Or the eye of a hurricane, it's supposed to be quite still. I've never been in the eye of a hurricane, but they say it's still. So can you find the place, the eye of your hurricane inside? The place of stillness. The other word that concept that I associate with this absence is silence. To have a silent mind. I think it was John Cage. I think it was Mozart. Was asked, "What's the most important part of your music?" And if I have it right, he said, "The silence." We focus on the notes on the page, but the silence on the score. So, that the silence highlights the music or the notes and all that. It's possible to have silence and noise, silence and sound together. Sometimes the presence of silent makes the noise, the sound, stand out and highlight. So, same is true in the silence in the mind, silence in the heart. There can be a stillness, a spaciousness, a silence, while there is contraction, thingness, while there is agitation, while there's movement, while there's noise, while there's thoughts. It doesn't have to be either or, but these two can be together. It's kind of like the absence can be what holds everything. You can't have a life without things, but you can put all the thingness of life into a wider context. And so, how big is the space that holds you? Each of you sitting here in this room is surrounded by space. Some of you sitting on chairs or sitting on the floor, so where there's contact, I guess there's no space, but the great majority of you is surrounded by space. And is that space only the size of this room? It's a high ceiling here. There's a lot of space here. Isn't it amazing? If you look up, it's kind of a whole different feeling of the room if you take in all the space and the high, it goes kind of far up the space. But is your spaciousness just limited by the walls of the here? Or is your spaciousness limited by the thoughts you're having that what Gil is saying is crazy? What is this talking about spaciousness and silence and stillness? And this is kind of like, these are just ideas. And so you're limited by your thinking. Or can you, and what is a spaciousness? What is a stillness? What is a silence that's beyond the edges of your body? You might be agitated, but just like a centimeter outside the edge of your skin, I think there's no wind here, so I can tell. There's a lot of stillness here in this room. If you're looking at up in the ceiling, I kind of see stillness around up there. And look at all of you, it doesn't seem so still. But the stillness is here, it's not so far away. Is there stillness and spaciousness beyond the edges of your thinking? If you just go 1 centimeter outside the boundaries of your thoughts, is there stillness and silence there? Or do your thoughts, are they so big that they cover the universe? like they just go on, and I mean, they're like, you know, if you have a, you know, maybe you have amazingly big thoughts that just, you know, cover the world, cover the universe. Is that how powerful and expansive your thoughts are? Or are your thoughts kind of like at least bounded by your skin? Or are they bounded by your skull? Or are they bounded by your neocortex? Or are they bounded by just like, you know, a few little electrons traveling between neurons? Where, you know, what's the boundaries? I suspect that, can you imagine, can you feel or sense the amazing amount of space beyond the boundaries, the edges of your thoughts? That beyond the edges of your thoughts, there's stillness. Beyond the edges of your thoughts is silence. If your thoughts are noise, there's a lot of silence all around them. But if we are absorbed in our thoughts, caught in our thoughts, navigating everything through our thoughts, then actually most people find their world gets, the universe gets very small, very contracted and limited. But what happens if the thoughts, the emotions, your any experience you have, what happens if nothing changes, there's no conflict to it, there's no for or against, but you kind of aware of the thingness of the moment in the vast field of emptiness, of absence that's all around it, and turns out it's also within it. You know, they tell us, but I haven't really been able to check it out, but they tell us that our bodies are mostly made up of space. You know, that atoms are, I don't know what percentage are space of the atoms, but the great majority of atoms are space, right? They can take the whole known universe and condense it into a square centimeter if you really want to pack it in. And for, you know, it's good for traveling on airlines. And so, you know, it's mostly space. And same thing is true psychologically, mentally, perceptively. There's a tremendous amount of space all around, within, without, between, around. So why would this be so valuable? Why would Buddhism hold this up as being more valuable than all the things? All the things which are experiences, all the things which are money and thoughts, ideas. And I think the one of the answers to that is that in order to tap into, to tune into absence, there has to be a lot of freedom. It's the absence of freedom that separates us from spaciousness, stillness, silence, openness, expansiveness. And not a freedom which is a thing, but the freedom which is the absence, in which life can unfold. Life is allowed to unfold, to flow, to move, to develop, to show itself, to appear in some of the deepest, most profound ways that life can unfold. That perhaps can't unfold so well if we're relating it all with the world of thingness. And one thing is you. And that thing which is you is relating to the things that are all around you and within you. It's just things bumping into things. gets kind of boring after a while. But the space, the openness, the freedom that allows it all to kind of flow is much more enjoyable. So you might want to consider a little bit what you think is valuable. And maybe it's counterintuitive to take as being valuable something which is not a thing. Something that you can't show off to anyone or put in it, you know, put on your mantle and say, look at this, you're so proud of your absence. May absence, stillness, silence, spaciousness, openness, non-conflict be your North Star. Thank you.